This is Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, where a spirit board conversation sparked our spiritual evolution. I'm Shale.
And I'm Cheyenne. And each week, we explore a world where there is much more than meets the eye. So pour yourself a drink and join us as we cheers to a witchin' good time.
Welcome back, witches.
Welcome back, witches.
Episode 3, the third episode, the third installment of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks, Season 5.
The trifecta.
Yes, the holy trinity of episodes.
I love how I think we get our willies out to record the episode by just repeating what number it is 15 times before we start.
Shake it off. What you drank in this morning, girl?
Okay, so we decided on a whim to rip up our carpet. So I'm being responsible this morning in case I get pulled into helping, even though my gracious cousin has decided to come over and help my husband. I think it's because they don't trust me as a construction partner, which is fine. I mean, if I can get out of labor, I guess that's cool with me. But just in case they pull me in, I'm drinking a non-alcoholic drink this morning. And it is a classic chai latte from Starbucks. And it's delish and it's hitting the spot and it makes me feel cozy and folly.
I love it. It's probably not that they don't trust you. It's probably that they don't actually trust themselves. It was like Brandon was setting up a new Roku TV yesterday. No offense if you're listening to this. He's not.
He's not. Mine's not either. So.
But he needed a USB dongle for the wall to like plug the little HDMI cord in. But he didn't like the one he had because it was too wide and he couldn't like get the shelf back to the wall. So I gave him two to try, a little square one. And then the one that goes with my Kindle because it's pretty flat. But I was like, the Kindle one might not work because it's just a charging cable. Like it might not be enough juice to run the TV. And that's the one he tried first, naturally. And then I like leave the room and then I just hear him like muttering frustrated things to himself. So I go back in and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, this TV's ancient. It won't work. We need a new TV. And I was like, or did you try the other dongle? And he was like, no, it's definitely the TV. And I was like, can you just humor me and test the other one? Because if we test it and it's that, then sure, then you're correct and you can get a new TV. But I don't think you actually need one. And I was right. So.
Home improvement projects, testing marriages one day at a time. I even told Sean, like, before we started ripping up the carpet, I was like, okay, ground rules. We're going to talk nicely to each other.
Yes.
We're going to use clear communication.
We're going to make sure everybody's on the same page.
He is so very good about that, though, but then sometimes he'll be like, oh, do, like, when he's trying to give directions, like, if you're trying to move a couch or whatever, and he's clearly the guy, like, moving backwards, because I would never... But he'll be like, okay, we're going to like move left and do this. And then I'm like, okay, but like, what do you mean? Like, you need to like be very specific.
Yeah, I need more than left.
Yeah.
Where are we going? How far am I walking?
When are we moving left?
So funny.
Bless you. Okay.
Delightful. I'm also drinking coffee.
Oh, yum. What kind of coffee?
I am drinking a cinnamon roll oat milk latte in my Hex the Patriarchy mug.
Delish. Oh my gosh, that sounds so lovely. And so fall.
I put a little extra cinnamon on top of it too. I was trying really hard to come up with a clever name for this one, but we are talking today about the only accused American witch to be burned alive. And
it's a bit of a heavy topic. Yeah.
It felt insensitive to come up with a quippy fiery name for my drink. So it is.
Yeah, that was probably a good call. I can see the comments now being like, don't listen to this or don't listen to this podcast. They're so unaware.
So disrespectful. But yeah, it's a, you know, it's funny. I think the equivalent, us recording in the mornings with coffee versus us recordings in the afternoons or evenings with a margarita is just going to be like, it's kind of the same chaotic, unhinged energy because I waited to have this coffee until now. So it's not like, it's not working in my brain yet.
Yeah. I think that's like a breaking down of the fourth wall. It's probably good for us to admit by season 5, but no, we don't record these at midnight. It's not a true midnight margarita coven. Never has been. We've never recorded at midnight.
Rarely awake at midnight. I can probably count the days I've been awake at midnight on one hand. That's not true, but I try very hard not to be awake at midnight.
Yeah, Cheyenne is like a rise with the sunshine kind of a person.
Real good at waking up at 3 and 4 a.m. Oh, thanks, ghosts.
Especially when you have sleepovers. You're always the first awake for like hours.
And then I just like creepy watch all of you sleep in the corner. Pre-iPhone days when you had to go entertain people's parents in the wee early hours of the morning.
Oh my gosh, bless you.
I feel like nothing else.
I would have hid in the room until everybody was awake.
So funny.
Just staring at the wall.
Let's pull a card. We've got our kinks worked out. We are pulling from our Pulp Girls tarot deck today.
Ooh.
I felt like I needed an affirmation this morning, and this deck gives us affirmations.
I like that.
It felt like the vibe. Ooh, nobody wants to jump for us. What is our energy of this week? Something to keep in mind while we read this, or while we read this episode, while we listen to this episode.
What's the coffee kicking in there?
Ooh. Ooh. Muy interesante. Sorry, I speak French with a Spanish accent. It's real confusing for a lot of people.
I feel like that sounded very Spanish.
We have pulled the Hierophant.
Ooh, okay. I could get down with this.
Yeah, I feel like that's the vibe. That's the vibe. Okay, so it actually really is the vibe. This is interesting. Ooh, and she's purple, which comes up later, y'all. We're going to talk about auras just a tiny bit.
Yay.
Again, this is me not knowing the order of my cards because I'm a piece of shit. Just flipping through the book. I'm sure people who listened in the beginning were just like, this girl's going to finally do the tarot thing and have her cards memorized. And I think I just keep getting worse, to be honest.
See, but that was always our thing. We're not professional witches by any means. We're just figuring this out along with the rest of y'all. So be nice to us.
So many other people have done this hard work for me. Like, life is short. I'm gonna just call Sterling when I need somebody to give me an interpretation that's deeper. It's fine. Learn from the tried and true methods, traditions, and conventions. Represents safety and conformity, learning from an expert, asking for or offering guidance. Reflection questions. Am I open to learning from those who are more experienced? Am I taking the high moral road? And our affirmation is, I open myself up to guidance from the universe.
Oh, I feel like that's very resonant for life right now.
Yeah. She's wise. She thinks before she acts. She's an observer, much like the woman we're talking about today.
Hmm. So who are we talking about today?
We are talking about Miss Leah Smock, who, as I said earlier, is the only American witch to have been burned alive. She is more fondly known as the Battletown Witch. And I'll give you two guesses where in the United States this haunting comes from.
But like, just as a quick side note, I think that's something that is kind of a misconception about the witch trials, right? Is that so many people think that witches were primarily burned at the stake, which is not really the case. That happened more in Europe. But if you think about like the Salem witch trials, for example, obviously that there was nobody that was burned at the stake. They were all unfortunately hung. But I think that was pretty common throughout Europe too, where being burned at the stake was not as frequent as other forms of execution.
Yeah, definitely a more sensationalized killing. Mm-hmm. Sexier in the media,
yeah,
to be burned at the stake, even though it's a small handful of people who were ever actually burned, both in Europe and here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who is Leah Smock? Let's talk about her. She was born in the year 1818 in the area that is now known as Battletown, Kentucky, because of course it's Kentucky. Before it was Battletown, Battletown, Kentucky is in Meade County, and Meade County and Kentucky especially are some of the oldest inhabited parts of the Americas. So
Is it Meade County where Tyler Childers is from?
I think so, yeah. It's really protected because of like glacial ice age movements. So it's like very much like a quiet, rural, time slippy kind of place. Really hard to settle, really unfriendly like land and territory. It is full of rattlesnakes and copperheads. Oh, so.
Lawrence County.
Not oh, well, we'll cut that out. LOL. So there's an area of woods outside of Battletown, Kentucky, known as Lapland. And this is where over 175 years ago, the young woman named Leah Smock was branded a legend. So firsthand accounts of people who knew Leah portray her as intelligent and beautiful, which, as we all know, are two of the most dangerous things a woman can be, especially when they are together, and especially in the year, I mean, was in 1818, but she was born in 1818, so especially in the early 1800s.
Right.
Because they didn't know about contouring, so if you were hot then, you were hot. The problem. So it was suggested that she had powerful intuition and possibly second sight through natural or supernatural reasoning. She was attributed with healing properties. She was known for her herbal remedies and her visions and predictions of deaths of critically ill people. So she'd been making herself more and more known with the neighbors, and the rumors began spreading about what Leah was actually doing. She was probably just a like low-key practicing herbalist.
Right.
If we're going to actually talk about what she was doing, she was only 22 years old when she was killed. So this
which
is
like, again, is like so common with any kind of witch trials or executions, right? Like majority of the people who were attacked in this way were practicing healers or midwives or people who the community really actually depended on to some large degree. Mm-hmm. But if you have this ability that other people don't, like an ability to heal, and you have this knowledge that's been passed down, you're also seen as a threat, unfortunately.
Well, and to that point, what happens then is you build your reputation as a healer, right? And then somebody doesn't heal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's when the cultural interpretations and perceptions of you start to shift. So in late August of the year 1840, Leah was accused of cursing a horse that she was told not to pet, and she pet it anyway because hashtag horse girl.
I was gonna say, who wouldn't want to pet a horse?
Right, like assholes. And then
they're so majestic.
You're not allowed to, not cool. So the horse died the next day. Another
did they say like the reasoning, like was the horse sick, or like why was she not allowed to pet the horse?
Yeah, so the horse was probably sick. So basically she would predict the deaths of these critically ill people, or after, you know, she interacted with them, they would die shortly after. But I think that is, to me, that's more attributed to her gifts as a healer.
Right.
And the fact that like she's sick people are the people who are coming to her. Right. Mm-hmm. And it is the year 1840 and she's a girl. Mm-hmm. Like she's an actual child. And so there was another story of like her wanting to hold a baby, and the baby was sick, and she wanted to hold the baby and said she could help the baby, could heal the baby. And they wouldn't let her hold the baby. They were like, fuck no, you're a witch. And the baby died the next day.
So
then everyone was like, you killed the baby. Not taking into account that, the infant mortality rates in the year 1840 in Meade County, Kentucky, were like well over 70% of babies, because nothing resembling a doctor was around for like miles and miles and miles already. So infant mortality in the year 1840 everywhere is already pretty high. But, you know, obviously it's her fault because she wasn't allowed to hold the baby.
Well, and I think as we talk about this, like if you think about the time period that this was in, this was 200 years ish,
mm-hmm, like 175. Yeah.
Yeah. After the Salem witch trials and whatnot, which were for the most part kind of the last like known witch trial, right? Like, of course, things like that continue to occur here and there. But I think it just goes to show like the effect that this like mass hysteria and fear mongering has had throughout generations. I mean, people still fear witches today, right? And they're still so misunderstood and misconstrued to so many degrees. And it's just, I don't know, I just kind of want to hold space for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Concept. Yeah, I mean, this podcast could not exist.
Right, absolutely not.
Like for a multitude of reasons.
But I mean, if you even think about like our episode where we had our like coming out of the broom closet episode, like if we think back on that time, like obviously being in this space, we've been able to like connect more and feel safer in this space. But if we think back to like Baby Shale and Cheyenne doing that episode, we were so nervous. Like we put it off for a while.
I still get nervous though. Oh, yeah. Like even so Brandon, I didn't even know until recently. So he has this coworker. If you're listening, hey girl, who he was like, you'd really like her. Like they all work remote, but they had like a big company retreat in Estes Park this year. And he was like, nice. You would really like her. And they were talking about, I don't even remember how it came up, but she is definitely a witch. She might not call herself a witch. I shouldn't be outing people as witches. Right. Why I didn't say her name. But they were talking about something, and Brandon's like obviously around this and we talk about it, and his mom's sure. pretty woo, so he's not like immune to these conversations. But I don't remember what came up initially, but he recommended our podcast to her, and I was like, oh, I always get real nervous when
I do that too. Like there's something about like a stranger listening to our podcast that I'm like, that's totally fine. But if it's somebody I know, I'm like, you shut your mouth. Like, please don't click on this Spotify link.
Like, well, and even like, yeah, where I'm just like, like, this is somebody you work with. Like, I don't want their perception of me because I get drunk on the internet occasionally and talk about ghosts to like influence. Not that I give a shit about how my actions impact a man, but I do a little bit with the, you know, one I like, it's fine.
Well, yeah, like as your partner for sure.
But it makes me real nervous. But she immediately sent back a whole bunch of things. And she was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know your wife was into this. This is so cool. She went to psychic school. She like sent him a whole bunch of links of other people, including guest ideas for us, which was very nice.
Amazing.
But like sent him all this stuff. And I was like flipping through the list and I was like, oh, okay. She can listen to the podcast. Yeah. And she's not gonna freak out. But it was so funny because they've been working together for like almost a year now, right?
Right.
And it's like their relationship has now only progressed enough where she's comfortable enough being like, oh, you like kind of mentioned this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna push a little further. And now I potentially have a new friend, which is cool. And I was like, I love that your work wife is also a witch. Can't act like you don't have a type, buddy.
Right. Also,
weirdos.
Quick note, psychic school, I need to know more about.
I'll send you the link she sent me because she sent me some really cool people that I hadn't heard of that I'm excited about.
I'm sure other people who are listening are also like, psychic school, please tell me more. So we might have in the show notes.
I know. So I'll pop a bunch of links in, but shout out.
Anyway, quick side note.
Anyway, but it's scary, right? It's scary to talk about. I find myself in mixed company, especially now that I've moved and I'm like meeting people and trying to like feel people out where, I had a new friend over this week that I pulled cards for, but like very tentatively started dipping my toes in the water there. And it's just really interesting how even now, like even us being like fairly open on the internet, we talk about a wide range of subjects. We have a wide range of practitioners come on. It's still scary. It could still backfire in a weird way that we don't know yet, you know?
Right, absolutely.
Just because of the world we live in. So yeah, definitely holding space for everyone who lost their lives because of their practices, everyone who's still misunderstood, everyone who's still hiding altars in the closet. We see you and you are safe here.
Mm-hmm.
Leah, however, was not safe. On August 21st of 1840, her family, her mother and father, and her two siblings went out of town, the next town over, probably like a grocery trip. why they didn't take Leah is unknown. but she stayed back at the farm. I mean, probably because they live on a freaking farm. You typically always leave somebody around to take care of something, right?
So much work to do on a farm.
Yeah, there's like always something to be done. So they're
I don't even have like a full farm. I have backyard chickens. And the other day I was like, this is so much work to have chickens in a garden.
For real. And then like going out of town is, you got to plan that shit. It is not easy.
So many logistics.
So they were out of town. They left. And the neighbors learned that the family was out of town and formed a posse. And these people, this group of men, largely fearful of her power, visited her father's farm while she was alone and ended her life by hog tying the 22-year-old's arms and legs and hauling her out to her family's smokehouse and setting it on fire.
Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible, terrible. Legend says that upon her parents' return, her mother saw Leah's apparition by the smokehouse and asked her, why didn't you save yourself? To which there was no reply. Which also, like, real sucks that we're in charge of saving everybody and ourselves. And then even in death, they're like, oh, these powers that killed you, why didn't you use them? Like, allegedly, right? This is the story of 175 years ago of a woman who saw the ghost of her dead daughter.
Sure.
Who knows if she saw an apparition at all? She's probably overcome with grief, I would imagine. But it's just interesting to think of like that being your first instinct of like still disappointment in the woman's actions.
And it's all, like almost that like victim shaming of why didn't you do more for yourself?
Very much so.
How much can you do when you're, it's just you.
It's just you.
Against the mob, you know?
It's not hard to overpower a young girl.
No.
More than.
Yeah, you said she was what, 22 at the time?
She was 22 and it was a mob of neighbors. Like half a dozen people at least.
That's so awful.
So she was given, her remains were given a proper burial by her family at the local cemetery. Her headstone is pointed on the top. We'll post pictures of it on the Instagram. But soon after she was buried, the sightings of her apparition began to crop up. So, the very first one was a hunter who saw her floating at the foot of her grave very shortly after she was killed, looking down at where she was buried. She's said to be dressed in a white gown with cords around the sleeves and her waist. She's long black hair. And she is always described as being enshrouded in a purple aura. And typically her apparition is missing below the knees. So she's like very clearly floating. This freaked the fuck out of everybody in town.
it makes me wonder like how much of that was like genuine fear coupled by remorse and guilt.
Yeah. And shame, like, and, right? And no knowledge of like, if this hunter was part of the mob or if he happened to be going through the woods and like through the cemetery at that time, I don't know his connection to the
area. I would bet that he wasn't though, because I
probably
feel like
not.
Be like part of the legend. Yeah.
Yeah. So the townspeople freaked out and they took two wagon loads full of crushed stones and replaced, like dug up the top 3 feet of dirt over her body and replaced it with rock.
Wow.
With 2 wagon loads of rock to keep her spirit downward.
Obviously, I've never heard of that as being like used as like you hear about like vampire lore, but you never hear about somebody.
Yeah, they're like, we're gonna weigh down spirit. Her spirit. not how it works, guys. So you wasted a lot of time and sweat. So she is still seen in Lapland to this day, over 175 years later. You can find her if you know where to look. She's in a hilltop cemetery within a grove of trees. It's very overgrown, very rural, not like a currently maintained cemetery. I think there are 70 stones around her. And where did that go? Yeah, her stone is pointed and stands out from the rest. So hers is like the recognizable one.
Was there like a reasoning behind why they had a pointed headstone?
I'm not sure why it was pointed. I couldn't actually find that. Outside of just seeing the pictures and people being like, you'll know it because it's different.
Yeah.
But her resting place and her sightings are all very, her ghost stories are all very commonly associated with animals. A lot of times it is hunters who stumble upon the grave or who find her because it's in such a remote rural location. there are accounts of like game being impossible to kill around that area, and like foxes and deer, and I think a lot of different kinds of birds are always like around this specific area. It's also infested with snakes, as I said earlier.
That's super interesting, though.
The snake is actually an interesting comment, because Leo was said to actually, she walked with a hand carved, she walked with a walking stick that had a snake carved into it.
Okay.
Like very reminiscent of like the medical staff, right?
Like, oh, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she literally what this, she probably used it as a snake stick. Like if we're going to be real and literal about this location, based on where she is and all the animals that lived there, it is not uncommon to walk with a snake stick.
Sure.
Especially if you're a woman in the woods alone. She was like always foraging, like accounts of her just like frolicking in the woods with her little animal buddies.
Oh, that's so
She had a native friend who was a member of the Cherokee Nation who she was said to hang out with, who taught her herbalism, who taught her about plant medicine. But I couldn't find accounts of him really either, outside of just mentioning that she had a friend who walked in the woods and helped teach her stuff about plants. Wow. But the snake staff is just, it's an interesting little like callback.
It's so interesting because, like, especially when you think about the fact that like around the grave, like animals are said to be impossible to kill. There's so many, like, I'm just getting a lot of connections to Bridget. Like, yeah. Bridget was a healer. Bridget was connected to the natural world, to animals. She was a forager, an herbalist, and like really tended to the land. And yeah, like it just feels like she had a connection in that way to me.
So this is a article from Kentucky's Haunted Times in 2020, where it says, for example, Leo was known to walk the woods and forest carrying a snake-like serpentine staff. The medieval witches who were tried and burned as heretics from 13 AD through the late 1500s AD were also known to carry staffs carved with occult and astrological signs and symbols. Today, the only remnants of this are found in magic shows with like the magicians. White-tipped magic wand, right? Leah has made herself known even recently by causing computers to malfunction or reverse images to occur when people are writing about her or taking photographs of her grave. A film crew's equipment failed to operate at her grave after it was repeatedly tested and found to function perfectly fine everywhere. So lots of the, like, those are kind of the more modern stories of people can't get her on camera. And then as
people
far
probably
as,
aren't asking in a respectful way. I mean, I don't want to assume that of people, because I do feel like a lot of paranormal investigators are doing a lot better job of this nowadays, but it makes me wonder if they're coming in from like a respectful place, you know? Yeah.
No, for sure. And I think her story a little bit kind of reminds me of like the Columbine witch in Central City.
Yeah.
Of like, it's become like a paranormal tourism location,
right? Like sensationalized.
Mm-hmm. So it becomes this like we talked about even in our last episode too, like this raised consciousness of like collective hauntings and stuff too. So really interesting. But yeah, animals are often seen, snakes are seen sunning on her grave. No one can bring down game, almost as if the area is charmed in their favor. It's just really interesting. And she's always seen with this purple aura. And purple
aura. I'm curious what that is, what that means. So my purple, little aura witch.
Purple auras are really they're like, purple is psychic, right? Like it's the amethyst is like your purple aura stone of choice. So strongly associated with intuition, psychic abilities, and a connection to the spiritual realm. Definitely very what does this say? For purple auras. Where's the one I was trying to find? Yeah. So people with purple auras do not like superficiality or pretenses and do not settle for shallow relationships. They require depth and a soulful connection. I just think her aura is really stark to me when you think about like her mom allegedly being like, why didn't you save yourself too? Because purple is a color that is, it's like purple is a quiet wisdom. Like,
yeah.
purple is like, you're not going to get like the passion of a red or an orange, right? Mm-hmm. Like purple is that devoid of ego, essentially, right? Like purple is a very enlightened color. So it's just like that wisdom of knowing, like the highly sensitive, highly intuitive, more introverted. I don't know. It's like the wisdom of knowing that like fighting probably isn't going to get you a different solution too, which like, and I would not have had that level of wisdom at 22. I would have been terrified.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about with this whole thing is it sounds like she was an absolutely beautiful human being, right? Like, yeah. And it makes me think about like that saying that, you know, really genuinely kind people don't tend to live long because it's almost like they've impacted this earth in some way. And like, obviously what happened to her was like super tragic. And I do think she was taken before her time. But it's when you even hear the story about when she was like taken away, it's almost like, I don't want to say that she like welcomed it, right? But it's almost like she was at a peace of knowing that she had left her mark on the world in this way. Yeah. And that she can still continue to have influence long beyond her death, right? Like she's still spoken about as a legend. And I imagine, like, at least when I've kind of looked into this too, like when her legend is spoken about, it isn't in this like eerie way.
No, it's not like a scary ghost story. It's very much steeped in tragedy.
Yeah, tragedy, but also like people acknowledging her wisdom and her gifts and her power, right?
Yeah, a ton of reverence. There's actually, so the town of Battletown, hello words. There's actually a festival in her honor every year that the aim is to like keep her story alive, right? And mm-hmm. it serves as like a reminder of mass hysteria, of what fear, right. Like letting fear guide our decision making, like how it typically always ends in tragedy. But there's this beautiful occult festival that happens every year. It's the last Saturday in October in Meade County. So if you want to go have some spooky season fun and see and learn more about Miss Leah, you can. Let's all go to Kentucky.
Yeah.
We've got plans to go to Kentucky anyway. We need to just do like a big Kentucky ghost tour.
So as we kind of round out this discussion, I don't know if we've talked a lot about it on the podcast, but Cheyenne has a lot of gifts around aura reading. And I know like when we had our session with the Divination Academy. So for folks who are not familiar with that is, that's Sterling Moon's Academy for people who have gone through her programs or her classes. And it's a really cool way for people to continue to connect and, you know, continue their practice, whether it's mediumship or spirit communication. So we had a small session on aura reading. And I know in that session, we talked about reading headstones,
mm-hmm.
but have you had experience? Like, I'm just very intrigued by the fact that she, as a spirit, shows up with this purple aura and that people seem to see that a lot, especially I'm getting the sense that it's people that don't typically see auras, right? And so like, how common is that as a spirit, like somebody who's passed on and no longer in their like fleshly body to see auras?
Yeah, I would say like not as common, but it's also like, auras around spirits are really interesting because it's like, what residual energy is still exuding that? And is that her? Because I also believe that like to an extent, someone like Leah probably has passed through the veil
sure.
like, more mm-hmm. officially. Like, I don't think she is earthbound. I think she probably shows up by way of, you know, someone needs a message, etc. But I don't think she's like hanging out on her grave all the time.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so I think there is like there's a level of enlightenment that comes with that, which is really interesting, but I have only seen like corporeal apparitions like twice. Mm-hmm. And like not like they're standing in front of me and I have time to like solidly look at them. Like and they've both been recently. They've both been within the last year. And it's always like peripheral. I'll see someone, or there was one instance where I did see somebody in a graveyard and the person I was with could not see them.
Yeah.
But when I'm reading headstones, So like reading headstone or auras off of a headstone is really interesting too, because I think a lot of times it's like you want to associate it with the person who's there, right? But it's probably very rarely ever that, like you're getting the energetic signature of like the plants and the rocks and the earth matter that's around you.
Or probably people who like come to visit that grave too.
Yeah. You're getting like the family energy, the collective like lingering. So yeah, it's interesting, but
it's so fascinating.
You know, aura science is already like got a lot of question marks in it. Yeah. So like when you add it to like beings who have passed on, because allegedly it's living signatures, right? Like it's living beings that are radiating an electromagnetic.
Right. That's what I find so fascinating about it. And when you think about like even being in your like earthly body, right? Like it's not like your aura isn't resembling your soul in a lot of ways. I wouldn't say
typically it's more like surface level emotion. Like
yeah, and your like life experience on this life journey, you know. So yeah, it's super interesting.
Yeah. But that's the story of Leah Smock.
Well, yeah, I know this was a heavier episode and I think it's important for us, and we have responsibility as people who consider themselves more open, especially on this platform that we have and are creating in this community that we're creating, to hold space for those who came before us and those who were wrongfully attacked for practicing their beliefs. And honestly, we take this so much for granted in our modern times. Yeah. And again, and this is the permission slip I want to give to folks. You know, you are absolutely welcome to protect your energy and create your safe space for yourself. If you don't feel like you're in a space where you are able to open or practice openly, that's okay. Do what you need to do to protect yourself and to protect your energy, and to create that safe space for yourself. But also I just want to acknowledge, you know, I saw this really great video that I actually posted to my Instagram the other day of somebody who was a witch growing up in the 90s. And she really talked about the fact that, you know, in this community, we tend to talk shit about like witchy aesthetics or witchiness becoming trendy. And we tend to like roll our eyes, but she pointed out the fact that she would have an altar and her friends would come over to visit and then never come back again, because the parents would see something like that and just dub her a devil worshiper, even though she was a child in this family, right? And just holding space for the fact that to be able to practice openly is a gift, and it's a blessing that we would not have had in another lifetime and would have been persecuted at a huge extent for, right? Up until death, which is a terrible thing to think about. But just holding space for the fact that we have created this newer understanding, and hopefully that continues into the future. But yeah, just acknowledging that today.
Yeah.
I'm feeling grateful.
Yeah. There are groups I am in where I put stuff back in the broom closet or add different qualifiers to make it sound less serious, right? Like, oh, it's so silly and girly. She loves tarot. And that's like, that's protecting your peace too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like permission for those people too, who understand and have the reverence and respect, but also have to balance that with self-preservation to find that sweet spot and that safe spot. So we love you guys and we're glad you're here. And we're glad that this can be a space where we can talk about this and tell stories like Leah, who deserves to be told. Like people should be talking about her.
And thank you to Leah for all of her gifts that she shared with the world while she did. And thank you to all of the healing and whatnot she brought to her community during the time she was alive. Despite it being a not accepting or safe space for her, she still continued to offer those gifts to her community. And I think that should also be acknowledged.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We love people living their authentic truth always.
Yes. Well, cheers to that.
Cheers, witches.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Ouija Boards and Midnight Marks. If you're having a witching good time, we hope you'll help us to grow this little coven. You all know it's us against AI in this algorithm world, so please help us out. Please like, rate, and subscribe anywhere you're listening to us.
Also, we want to connect with our spooky Marg-loving friends out there, so please like and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Links for those profiles will be in the show notes. And hey, be sure to tell us what you're drinking tonight. We love you all so much, witches. Cheers.